Hello, my name is Richard Dort, and this is TTXGP Matters. Within it, I guess because I can if I want to, ESBK Studios. You can kind of consider anything audio podcast or YouTube-ish to be part of the ESBK Studios. I'll bring that name back because I can, at least for now, until someone says I can't. And this is your weekly news. So getting right into it, if my computer would cooperate. Let's see here. I want to do some corrections. Damon Motorcycles. It was 200 horsepower, 200 miles an hour, and 200 miles of range. And the handlebars and the foot pegs move when you go from like Ducati position to like VFR position is what I'll call it. But from a more upright, sporty commuter position down into aggressive racing position or track attack position. I thought that was good. Also, a bit of a misnomer coming out of my mouth when I said Michael Urich's history with TTXGP. What I meant was his history with DTXGP Matters. Pretty sure that was insinuated since I was talking about the podcast that had been dropped, but I want to make sure that's clear. The TTXGP is no more, but I'm sure, as I was saying, still has rights to the name and doesn't want me slandering his good series name. And then there is a video of a zero. We're talking about the cross country record. There is a video of a gentleman, I think he's Dutch, Belgian, somewhere around there. He owns a SRF, and he went and used the AC, 22 kilowatt AC chargers they have over there. And he rode all day trying to see if he could get the bike to thermally throttle because of charging at 12 kilowatts. Because he has a Premier with the charge pack. And I re-watched the video, but I kind of clicked through. I feel like towards the afternoon, he had some slight thermal throttling, but pretty much he was full on 12 kilowatts all day long. So that zero with the charge packs, charge tank, do not have the thermal throttling issues that the Energicas have been experiencing, but they are charging at a lot slower rate. So they have two-thirds the size of the battery. So take that as you may. Also, the 2022s are not out yet. The 2021s I had said were correct. The article that I read, I believe on Ride Apart was, or maybe it was motorcycle.com, can't remember which one of those. They're saying that we're looking at take an SRF and make an off-road version. So if you want the DSR, it's just an SR with longer suspension travel. Really, that's about it, and some different wheels. Honest to gosh, that's about it. Same frame, same motor, same controller. Maybe there's some different mapping over the years they've added, but not that I'm aware of. So if you take an SRF and you put longer suspension travel on it and maybe give it some different looks, it looks like you're going to get the DSR-X. So that'll be the new 710 motor, which is up from the 70-10 motor, which is up from the 77R of the SR. 70-10 motor is the ones running on the SRS and the SRF with the same battery packs. They're all running 14.4. And probably, well, I'm sure there's an upgraded controller too. Maybe not. But anyway, so we're looking at that, and we're looking at a refreshed SR, which kind of makes sense because the S, which is just the regular, was it a 75 or a 77 motor instead of the 7R motor? One of those two. It's got either the same motor or a slightly downgraded motor, depending on the year, honestly. But the S with the smaller pack, the DSRs, so that'll be the, so the DSRs, the DS and the DSR, and I think the FXs, all got the TFT displays, but the SR got nothing. So all the other bikes got the TFT displays, but the SR. But it looks like we're going to get a new SR this year. And that thing is kind of long in the tooth. Really, really long in the tooth. I mean, how many times can you just change the color? And occasionally upgrade the pack. I don't think the battery pack hasn't changed in 4 years. They have put in ABS, I don't know how long ago. So it looks like we're getting a whole new SR. And then, Mike, I'm wondering if we get a new SR, like, what else? How that's going to, that should trickle down to all the other bikes. The S, the DS, the DSR. Should trickle down to all those. Don't you shut off on me, computer. All right, there. See, we got that. We got that. Oh, just to clarify, when it comes to Energica and Ducati and the Moto E, Ducati does not take over until 2023. Energica has one more year left, so don't let that confuse you. They're still going to be next year. All right, they're still going to be on Energica's next year for Moto E. It's the year after that we'll see those Ducati. So Ducati has a year to and some change to build electric race bikes. Oh boy. Getting right into it. Ride Apart. Oh, Ride Apart has some good articles. Let me bring those up. That is Torque. Let's see. Okay. Ride Apart. Yes, by Mr. Dustin Whelan. Dustin Whelan. All right. So I'll post it on actually the first one. I'll talk about the first one. Posted on the 27th of October. Where does Energica go after Ideanomics takeover and Moto E exit? So it turns out I didn't even pay attention to this. This is kind of big news. Energica got bought out. Now Energica was a child company of CRP Group, which is a Formula One company. They do fast prototyping, rapid prototyping. So here, Mr. Whelan talks about, let's see here, 91% growth in 2020. So they initially purchased, let's see here, in September 2021, American electric vehicle firm Ideanomics, never heard of them before, purchased 70% controlling stake in the brand and immediately planned for another U.S. expansion. Just 1 month later, in October 2021, Dorna announced Energica would no longer supply electric motorcycles to the Moto E following the 2022 season. Coincidence? Maybe not. Kind of makes a little bit more sense now, because CRP is obviously a racing company. Although they did get out of the FIM Racing E-Power Series and TTXGP, you know, before those race series closed. Now with OEM starting new chapter story, the CEO Olivia Cevolini is still in charge, still the CEO, and they're focused on broadening the boutique's brand, he says. Then he takes a quote from the Moto.it motorcycle website. We are talking about vehicles destined not only for the Asian market, but for all markets. We have many requests and we really like this new challenge. We started from the high range because here the company can have a great and long tradition. Here in the company, we have a great and long tradition. The family comes from Formula One technology. Now it is very interesting to make this technology available to research other products. Under new ownership, Energica will grow synergistically alongside Ideanomics and other electric mobility marques. Cross-pollination will certainly develop. Let's see here. So he says here, even with the company's change of course, talking a little bit about how they're broadening, they're expanding a lot in the U.S. They're expanding. Plan to expand the U.S. network. There's only 13 dealers, Energica dealers in the whole U.S. So they plan on expanding that, doubling it, or at least expanding it by 50%, which really isn't, you know, that much. But of course, Ducati will act as a sole supplier of Moto E from 2023 to 2026. But Sevelini would love to see the series expand to multi-make category soon. But I did not realize that back in September, Ideanomics purchased 70%. Energic has been at least claiming in their press releases that they've had Tesla kind of growth, if not more, if not faster growth in the last couple of years since they started selling at Moto E. If you watch the press releases, like, it's just like 50%, 100%, 200%. I mean, it's been, I say 200, I think that was a while ago, when they probably weren't building a whole lot of bikes. But they now have dealerships all over the world. As they say here, the US, Taiwan, and Singapore. But going back to his later article, because that was October 27th, he talks about that. And apologize for my slow internet. And then the right part's got a bunch of e-scooter stuff I just really could care less about. Ducati said not long ago, and if you listen to the Yami Noob Cast podcast, where they talk about Kawasaki and their electrification plans, Yami Noob talks about how Ducati had said, we're not doing electrification. Not doing it. They didn't talk one bit about this thing in that Yami Noob podcast, and that podcast number 63. There's been a podcast that's come out since then. But we'll talk about that in a minute. Here we go. Here's another article by Mr. Whelan. Ducati CEO clarifies Moto E direction and future electric models. Let's see here. Ducati remains on the fence, waffling between synthetic fuels and electrification for the firm's future. Well, prior to the press conference, they had been on the fence. Drew a clear line in the sand with the Moto E announcement. That's a big of an assumption, but we'll let it ride. But he also made it clear that Ducati has a lot to figure out before the 2023 season. And like they said, they're using this for to develop electrical drivetrains for electric motorcycles. However, he goes into not to expect anything before 2025 or 2030, really. So you shouldn't expect low road legal bike until 2025 to 2030 or possibly later. All right. But they've gone on to talk about how the powertrain will be developed in the R&D center for the street bikes, but everything else, the chassis, aerodynamics, and the racing will be handled by the racing side of the house. So that's neat. He got a quote here from Cycle World. All right. So if you want to go to the source for that, Cycle World is the place to go. Sorry, Cycle World. I haven't checked out your website yet, so I don't know if you're keeping up on the electric stuff, but Ride Apart is one of the few sites I found. If you click on the news tab, you can go in and select the kind of bike, and there's an electric motorcycles tab or button, and you can hit that and it'll bring up all the electric motorcycle articles, if you care to peruse. So Ride Apart, I've read some stuff on there and it's been kind of junk. Just a rehashing of press releases without any kind of digging in or anything. Mr. Whelan at least, you know, tries to pull some meat out of some of these things, but he's also been reading other people's articles. So he's not the source, at least not yet. European motorcycle, electric motorcycle website, The Pack, used to be something else. An eco motorwear clothing showroom in Belgium. Yeah, don't care. Eco mobility company, side by side, electrified 2021. Don't care. Their take on the Ducati, taking over Moto E in 2023, an electrified, show. Scooter, Australian electric motorcycle manufacturer Savic. This is October 8th, so this is old news. Motorcycles is full speed ahead, it says. That's the title of the article. And who said you can't travel with an electric motorcycle across Europe in 43 days on a Zero SRS with Sebastian Goh? I plan on reading that article, and that is October 8th as well. So some of these are old. Black Team Motorbikes Roadshow Through Germany and Austria. It's just a tiny little retro looking thing. All right. So we got that. Now, let's see, what else have we got here? Ride Apart. Yeah, let's go into epaddock.it. Great website. They've got it in English, Italian, Spanish, and something else. What's this? English, Italian, Spanish, and Polish? Anyway, great website for keeping up with the Moto E. They've got data from the teams. They've got or somehow they've got data somehow. They love analyzing that. Race reports, stuff like that. They have a cool article I have yet to read, but I think we all should probably take a look at. And Ducati, the next Moto E with a light heart. Okay, again, the big push is for lightweight. They want lighter weight. They want the riders to be safer. The heavier the bikes, the more likely somebody's going to really hurt themselves in a crash. So, yeah, I mean, aero is more important with electric motorcycles than weight. Aero is more important than weight, period. I think if you look into bicycles, you will see that. Lighter is always better. So there's more important, and then there's marginal gains. All right. Yes, yummy new podcast. Okay. Are you starting to feel good about the state of electric motorcycles? I mean, I'm making podcasts again, been writing articles. You know, I mean, I gave up. There was no news really to be had for years. Every now and then I'll write something. There'll be some sort of piece of something to go. The Harley Livewire has been out for a while now. The SRF and the SRS have been out for a little, well, I guess just a few months, really. Yeah, and then of course the Energica, especially now with the new 21.5 kilowatt packs, you know. So there's some excitement. Moto E has been out. This is the third season of Moto. Yeah, third season of Moto E. Oh, that reminds me, real quick. Energica originally signed up for 3 seasons of Moto E, but because of COVID, they got extended a season. All right, so that's why they're doing it this for next year instead of if you had originally thought that was a 3-year contract, you were right. It was extended because of COVID. Anyway, moving on. Yami Noob. Yeah, so you're feeling good. There's a race series that's been on for 3 years. Ducati's going to take it over. There's some pretty good bikes on the market. There always kind of has been, but these are like next level top in power and feel and handling and whatnot. And even range in some cases. If you're really starting to feel good and you just want to hang yourself, listen to Yammy Noob Podcast, the Yamcast 63, and realize how normal motorcyclists are so far behind. It's painful. It hurts. Watch the first 5 minutes, give or take, maybe like six. Take 6 minutes of that podcast where they talk about electrification and how they don't want it and stuff like that. And they're not like, you know, old men on their lawn, get that electric motorcycle off my yard. But they're like, never will I give up my gas bike. Now they've had a zero SRS, SRF, SRF. They had one. They couldn't get any range out of it. He got like 67 miles or something. No, he got 80. It sounded like he's going to get 60 miles, and it turns out he got like 89 or something. Yeah, that just is that. So I feel like it sounds like the average motorcycle guy. It sounds like that, the average motorcycle guy. And it's not super negative, not old man, you know, get off my lawnish, but. Whew. It breaks your heart. So if you're feeling really good about yourself and you're like, I'm feeling too good about myself, go listen to the Yammy Noob podcast called the Yamcast, episode 63. It's on YouTube. Feel free to have your electric motorcycle dreams crushed. All right. Also, yesterday is November 1st. Yesterday was October 31st. Yesterday is my 10-year anniversary. I had no idea. I recorded this last Monday. Not this one. I recorded the first news, weekly news thing last Monday. It is, I had no idea my 10-year anniversary was coming up. Not only did my 10-year anniversary come up, I got a little sentimental and I started digging around my computer again for the umpteenth time, trying to find this magic file that I could plug into my TXGP Matters WordPress site, and it would upload all of my old articles from ESBK, like 3 years worth of stuff from ESBK.co. I was digging around and I found a bunch of files. And I went, oh. And then it was like 12:39, my wife came and asked what was going on. She warned me I was going down a rabbit hole, and I said yes willingly. And so I kept going, and next thing I know, by 1:20 or 2 o'clock in the morning, I had found the missing file. Still don't know where the folder is, but I found the missing file. I found the missing file and I uploaded it. And so all of my old articles that I thought literally were gone forever, two or 3 years worth of articles I thought were gone forever, are not gone. And they are now up on the ttxgp.wordpress.com website. So if you want to go back and go dig into some history and think about way back when, like the Dort Standard, that hasn't held up so well. Seemed like it was a really good idea. Has not held up well at all. Might mean weight has more effect than I care to admit. But I'm not willing to concede yet. So go ahead and check it out. Now, not all the podcasts that recorded in that time do I have. I did find a folder full of podcasts and even the original Skype recordings for some of that stuff. But I don't have all of them. I'm still missing a few. So I've got to sort that out, and I've got to create links, new links, and work on it. And I'll work on it. No one's reading the site yet. No one's watching these videos yet. So I got plenty of time, but I do it for fun. Let's see here. So yeah, 10 years. 10 years I've been shouting from my own little personal corner of the internet. 10 freaking years. Let's see here. 500. 500 Interceptor still doesn't run. I bought it. It didn't run. It has run. The guy I bought it from said, yeah, definitely. It started up at one point. Now it turns out I've got the carburetors put on. Turns out I think whoever worked on my carburetors, I've had two people work on my carburetors. They never put the fuel hoses back on. So now I got to pull. And you know how much a pain in the ass it is to pull carburetors off of V4? And how much more of a pain in the ass it is to get carburetors back on a V4. Yeah. But I think I have to pull that. And it turns out I've got a ton of California emissions equipment on here. I have everything for the California emissions, but the actual canister down there, right in front of the headers. Front headers. So, yeah. Yeah. Emailed my guy, Jamie, and he said, man, those are California carbs. He said, those are a pain in the butt. You're better off ripping them out and buying new carbs off of eBay. I'm like, oh, man. If I'm going to buy new carbs, I want to buy NC35 carbs because they're both 30 mil. This is 30 mil. These are 30 mil bore carbs. Those are 30 mil bore carbs. They're newer, better. I'd rather buy those. But then I don't know if they'll bolt on or how to get them to bolt on or any of that stuff. So that's where we're at with the 500. Oh, and I was told there's a rusted hole in my tank, and good luck getting that fixed. But I'm in Florida now, so I might have a lot easier time getting that fixed. Who knows? We've done Epatic, we've done Yummy Noob, we've run Right Apart. That's it. Yeah, the Epatic guys, check them out. Right Apart's electric. Motorcycle tab, you know, as you go to news, you click on that, go down, click on electric motorcycles, there you go. I'm waiting. It said on Asphalt and Rubber said that there was going to be an article coming commenting on the Moto E. David Emmett doesn't cover Moto E, doesn't seem to care about Moto E. David Emmett, by the way, runs Moto Matters, which used to be MotoGP Matters, which is what this website's named after. TGXGP Matters is named after his website. I kind of borrowed that, but his website's always way better than mine will ever be. Asphalt and Rubber has not produced a second article about that, so I wouldn't follow them for any electric motorcycle news worth anything. Let's see, what else? I'm not listening to Jensen Beeler talk. Who else? Oh, thepack.com. That's a pretty good site for electric motorcycle news. Paddock.it. That's a good site for electric motorcycle news. For November 1st. And the first episode in the 10th year of MotoGP Matters. MotoGP Matters. Slip of the tongue, Freudian slip. TGXGP Matters. This is Richard Dork. You have a good weekend, or have a good week, and keep the rope upside down. I'll see you next week. Bye.